The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Tell me why haven't I heard from you?
Why haven't I heard from you?
Tell me why haven't I?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address is always ready for anything you want to tell us, anything you'd like to say to us. Show suggestions are always welcome, criticism as well. We'd like to hear from our listeners. If you got a question from something you just heard, or if you're one of those on-demand listeners that's way behind and trying to catch up, it doesn't matter. It could be old. We'll still answer your question. You want to add something to the conversation, that's good too. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. And the Issues Etc. comment line open 24/7 for exactly the same thing, only instead of typing it, you just speak it into your phone. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382.
This could very well be an Issues Etc. first in 25 years of radio and podcasting.
What's that?
Listener email twice in 1 week.
No, I think I'm sure we did it back in our previous incarnation.
Well, we had 3 hours a day.
We were trying to fill three hours of airtime every day.
Man, I must have been younger and
smarter
and could read better back then, because you don't know how hard it is for me to do listener email twice in 1 week.
You didn't read it back then. I did.
Oh, that's why.
You just handed me a pile of email and then you went and had a cup of coffee.
How did I get involved in this? What happened?
You started doing it. I don't know. You started doing it when we came over here. You started doing the reading the listener email.
I remember talking.
You just hand me a bunch of email.
I do remember that.
Then leave
now
me alone for an hour.
Highlighted email. But I do.
It's exhausting.
We did have some. I bet it was. I'm looking at this first one. I mean, my goodness, how many? This is 1,000 words. What? I do remember interacting with you at our previous place of employment. I had that little mic in there?
Yeah, I remember that.
Little sweat box?
Yeah. Jeff had to sit basically in a refrigerator sized room. It was intended for a mini refrigerator sized room. Call screener's room. And he had a little computer and a keyboard in front of him where he would screen calls in there. And we were separated by a soundproof door with glass and everything. And I could see him out of the corner of my eye through a little window often. And I could not hear anything he was doing unless he got very animated with callers. And then I could hear him because of the way they ventilated that room, which was not very well. But the way they ventilated that room, I could hear him once he got animated with callers.
I don't get animated that often, do I?
You used to back in the day, especially during the Sunday
Lexall
night
days.
During the Sunday night show, when we were nationally syndicated, we'd go in and do Sunday night shows, and we would do nothing but take phone calls the second hour of the program, and you would get animated sometimes with callers. Yeah.
Well, the reason we have to do listener email, A, you don't have a very good producer, but B...
That's not true.
We have our regular guest, Brian Wolfmiller. No interview this week. No Pastor Paul McCain this week. It's his 35th wedding anniversary. Happy 35th wedding anniversary,
congratulations.
Paul and Lynn McCain. No, what's the name of the fifth series on parenting?
Raising Christian Children in an Age of Progressivism?
Yes.
Progressivism.
Fisk
secular.
Couldn't come on
okay
yesterday. And to add insult to injury, no Chris Roseborough tomorrow. So we have, it's like, 4 hours? Of programming.
And in the old days, that would have been
We were just four hours. You would have said we could fill 4 hours.
Oh my goodness.
And we'll get a bunch of articles and emails. And
no, remember, we just dubbed like stories from the news that were like 10 minutes long and start and stop and play. And
yeah, and I remember that.
Just how are we going to fill today's show?
But so, they loved it.
So now we have...
It made us who we are today.
That's right. So now we have 5 hours less to fill a week, and Schwartz still can't get the job done.
No, you can get it done.
Email and comment line tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, tomorrow we're good. Tomorrow we've got Ted Geese on the, what, Solo? Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah, Han Solo movie.
Han Solo. Are you going to ask him if he cried at the end in this one, too, like you
did
the Avengers?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Pastor Whedon's going to be on. Amazingly, Pastor Will Whedon, at least in the last 10 years since we've been independent, has never come on to talk about Justin Martyr with us. So he's coming on tomorrow.
Excellent. No Chris Rose, bro. So no This Week in Pop American Christianity.
Soundbite of the Week we shall have. And Dr. Adam Francisco on Luther's use of apologetics from Concordia University Irvine will be on tomorrow. So tomorrow's good. Today, right, good. Not so good.
This is very rare, by the way, folks, that I know... Jeff sometimes does, but it's very rare that we know a full day in advance who's going to actually be on the show the next day.
And it could change depending on the news.
And it certainly will.
Or people's schedules.
Right. Happens all the time. It's just the way it is.
All right. This comes from...
Email.
Christian. I'm an LCMS pastor who likes to listen to your podcast when I get a chance. I appreciate much of what you do. Thank you. However, I just got done listening to Molly Hemingway again rail against the New York Times article from a few days ago. And there you were, just like those goofy Fox News anchors who never question or challenge their dearly held friends. You're like a younger Sean Hannity, Todd. This is my challenge to you.
I think Sean Hannity's actually younger than me, but go ahead.
Well, he looks older, Todd. You're aging well, my friend.
That's not true, but go ahead.
This is my challenge to you. Can we just try to be a little more than condescending apologists for Donald Trump? The fact is, looking down the list of segments of your program that mention Trump, you almost never challenge him or his policies. You are always either defending him or explaining the good things that he does. How about getting someone else beside Ms. Hemingway, maybe a guest who can challenge your obvious agenda here so far that you have demonstrated? How about interviewing someone who can parse how we Christians might be able to think and address issues like Trump's horrendous infidelity, his abominable name-calling and bullying, his incapacity to say he is sorry, even his claim that he is a Christian without ever asking God for forgiveness. That is why I am so upset with your inability to do anything but pander to Trump politics. You are supposed to have the answer. You are supposed to get it right as the leading voice of Lutheranism on talk radio. Please take up the challenge. Thanks for the feedback, Christian.
You know, I was going to put a sign in here someplace in the studio, just three simple words: you can't win. Sometimes you feel that way. This email kind of makes me feel that way a little bit, because I think we've tried to be as even-handed and as fair with Donald Trump as possible. I'll start out by saying I did not vote for Donald Trump, and if given the opportunity to do it again, I wouldn't vote for him again. So I think I was pretty vocal before the presidential campaign that I considered myself a never-Trumper. We, in fact, talked extensively during the presidential campaign about how you go about not voting for someone and not having it be a vote for the worst candidate we've seen there, which was Hillary Clinton. So I think it mystifies me a little bit just in a personal sense, because I did not vote for Donald Trump and I would not vote for Donald Trump. And I think my decision not to vote for him has been vindicated by his behavior. Has he done some things in office, overseen some things in office that are positive? Absolutely, he has. But you are not talking to an apologist for Donald Trump in any sense of the word when you're talking to me. Not to mention the fact, and he mentions going through the segments where we mentioned Trump, and I hope you do go listen to him, because, and in particular to the following guest, to Rod Dreher, he's in the Never Trump camp, to David French, who actually was at one time being courted to run against him, to Robert George. These are guests that we have on a regular basis here. Robert George, Frank Beckwith, Ryan Anderson. Terry Mattingly, I don't think, ever misses an opportunity to level a very well-reasoned and considered criticism against the president, as well as the media that covers him. Rinesh Panuru, he's been on this program, and he's an outspoken never-Trumper. So I'd encourage you to go and listen to those as well, because we've tried to be as even-handed as possible. Yes, we do have Molly Hemingway on, who will, I think she's trying to be honest about the, I think we were talking about the scope of the Mueller investigation in that particular thing. She's trying to honestly report it and say, what is their evidence for, what is their evidence against? But we've tried to be very even-handed with the president. And I'll just speak personally. It has required some restraint on my part, because I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump as a person or as a president. I think he sets a terrible example for the country in his behavior. And I regularly wake up in the morning and sometimes wonder if I'm not having some sort of crazy dream that Donald Trump is president of the United States. It's just strange to me, but he is president of the United States. The office deserves that respect. So we try and be even-handed in the way that we deal with it. I encourage you to go back and listen to some of those where we deal with the issues, especially, you can go back to 2016. Is that the proper? Yeah, 2016. And look at some of those and see the issues that we were dealing with on the air leading up to the election of Donald Trump. When we come back from this break, more of your listener email and the issues, et cetera, comment line. That comment line is 618-223-8382. And our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Don't you tell me fans don't care. Don't you assume they're gonna buy just anything. Cause when we're out in the clubs listening to music, you're in the car, sex them in females.
The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I can do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS, of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones, along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
Well, did you get my message? Did you get my message?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Talk back at issuesetc.org. And 618-223-8382.
Cheryl listens in Iowa, and she writes, please have a discussion regarding mortal sin and the driving out of the Holy Spirit. As a confessional Lutheran for 70 years, I was taught that all sins, thought, word, and deed, were equal and punishable in hell. When Christ suffered on the cross, died, and rose, he paid the price for all sin, which is a gift to us who have been given faith through the Holy Spirit. I was also taught that faith in Christ's gracious gift of salvation provides us forgiveness at all times unless we reject the Holy Spirit by disbelieving or turning away from the faith we have been given. While we ask for forgiveness daily, our act of confession is not the act that takes away the sin. It is Christ's act of sacrificing himself and rising from the dead which removes sin. I was always comforted in the fact that whenever I die, I will go to heaven because Christ has taken away all of my sins. He lavishes me with his grace through baptism, Holy Communion, and his abiding word. This would be the case regardless if I had committed sins I had not yet asked to be forgiven for in the course of that day. I am now hearing that when we commit a sin knowingly and we have not yet asked for forgiveness, it could be a mortal sin, since every knowing sin we commit is a rejection of the Holy Spirit. I always thought that rejection of the Holy Spirit was a conscious rejection of faith and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. I did not think it was the committing of the sins that permeate our lives as the old Adam in us takes over. The odds are that I will die with sins I have not yet asked for forgiveness. Yikes, this scares me big time. Does this mean that I could die having rejected the Holy Spirit because of an unrepentant sin due to bad timing? I don't think that is what Scripture says, but I can see passages both ways. I want to say it is a matter of law and gospel, but I don't know since I have gotten two different answers from three different confessional pastors. Hope this makes sense and that you can address this issue sometime. I am very thankful for your broadcast. I've learned so much. Thanks for the email, Cheryl in Iowa.
Cheryl, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. First of all, let's just dispense with the language of mortal sins because that doesn't get us any place. It's not that it isn't useful. In fact, the Lutheran confessions use the term and Lutheran theologians use the term. But let's just dispense with it because it implies, or at least people tend to infer from it, that there's an intrinsic nature of some sins that they are mortal sins, that they are sins that damn, and then there are these venial sins that, because of their lesser quality, don't damn. They just kind of incur God's annoyance or something like that. You are quite right in that you have been taught that all sin before God is equal. Before men, sin is of varying degrees, both in its consequence and in its severity before men. But before God, sin is sin. Sin is simply a rebellion against God's law. That's the best way to define this. It is a rebellion against God's clear law, his stated will. That is the definition of sin. When God says do not and we do, we sin. When he says do and we do not, we sin in thought, word, or deed. And before God, all sin is equal. So you've been taught correctly there. The question you're asking is not so much about mortal sins or even the nature of sin, but what you're talking about is unrepentance. You ask the question, is it possible that I could die in my sleep or something like that, having forgotten to confess a sin or a sin I'm not even aware of, and then be damned thereby? The answer to that question is no. Someone who lays their head on their pillow at night
confessing their sins. This is why we confess before God that we are sinful and unclean. We just categorize ourselves that way. We don't feel the need to enumerate sins. In fact, the Lutheran confessions are quite clear over and over and over and over again on the subject of that it is not necessary to enumerate sins when one makes confession in order to be sure of one's salvation. So this is not a question of I forgot to confess or I didn't know I should confess, any of those things. When a Christian repents and makes confession of sins, they confess all sins, past, present, and future. They are confessing themselves to be sinners who are unclean and are in utter and complete need of God's mercy, only by which they can have any hope of being saved. So that's also not the question. The question is really of repentance. And we are very, very fortunate that the Lutheran confessions address this very question, not once, but twice. But first, let's talk about what Scripture says. Scripture warns Christians against falling away from the faith. Now, if you've been told by a Lutheran pastor, confessional or otherwise, that you cannot fall away from the faith, you've been lied to. And the primary proof of that is that Scripture warns Christians against falling away from the faith repeatedly. And if Scripture issues such warnings, it is a real possibility. The nature of that falling away from the faith can be, as you say, a conscious rejection of the faith. That is, someone just decides they don't believe anymore. Or they're angry at God and they say, I reject what God says. That probably accounts for every atheist who ever was a Christian, who just says, I don't believe it anymore. That can be a kind of apostasy, a falling away from the faith. There's another kind that is more subtle that is addressed by the Lutheran confessions. As I said, not once, but twice. The first time is in Luther's small called articles. This is a part of the confessions that Luther wrote as kind of his last will and testament. He thought he was going to die. He was wrong. But he wanted to get down on paper exactly what he believed because he was fairly well certain that after he died, his theology would be taken up and distorted by people who would follow him and that he would be misrepresented. So he wanted people to know, this is what I really believe. And he writes there, I want you to just listen to this carefully. He writes there in the small called articles. He says, it is accordingly necessary to know and to teach that when holy men, still having and feeling original sin, also daily repenting of and striving with it, happen to fall into manifest sins, as David into adultery, murder, and blasphemy. He uses David there as the example. Luther says that then faith and the Holy Ghost has departed from them. They cast out faith and the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost does not permit sin to have dominion, to gain the upper hand so as to be accomplished, but represses and restrains it so that it must not do what it wishes. But if it does, that is, sin does what it wishes, the Holy Ghost and faith are certainly not present. That's Luther writing. And he uses an example, David falling into adultery, murder, and blasphemy. He calls that manifest sins. And he goes on to say, for St. John says, whosoever is born of God does not commit a sin, and he cannot. And yet it is also the truth that when the same St. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What is the nature of this unrepentance, this manifest sin, into which David fell? David committed adultery, murder, and blasphemy, saying in his heart all along, he had no sin. He said, these things that I've done are not sin. That is unrepentance. And Luther's quite clear, and he has Scripture on his side when he says, when someone does this, they violate God's word and they say to themselves, I have no sin. I have not sinned. They have cast out both faith and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's one other place where this is addressed, and that is in the epitome of the Formula of Concord. This is a document that was written after Luther's death and is incorporated into the Lutheran Confessions, written largely by Martin Chemnitz and some others. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to put a fine edge on Luther's theology and answer all these questions that continued to swirl around the Reformation after Luther was dead. And this is what they write about that very same situation. They say, we believe, teach, and confess that although the contrition that precedes and the good works that follow do not belong to the article of justification before God yet, listen carefully, yet one is not to imagine a faith of such a kind as can exist and abide with and alongside of a wicked intention to sin and to act against the conscience. But after a man has been justified by faith, then a true and living faith works love, so that thus good works always follow justifying faith and are surely found with it, if it be true and living, for it is never alone, but has always with it love and hope. So there the Lutheran theologians are saying, look, let's not imagine that there is such a kind of faith that can coexist with what they say, a wicked intention to sin and to act against conscience. So they're describing here the same situation that Luther's describing in the Small Called Articles, wherein a person who is a Christian has fallen into sin to such an extent, willful sin, to such an extent that they say, I have no sin. They have acted against conscience and against the will of God, yet they do not repent. And the conclusion of both Luther and the later reformers in the Book of Concord is that such acts of sin and unrepentance drive out the Holy Spirit and faith. So I'm going to say this to you as we go into the break. If you go to bed at night worried that you've forgotten to confess a sin you may not even know of or that you know of and you've somehow forgotten, don't worry. That's quite the opposite situation of what is described there by those who have fallen into manifest sins or have acted against conscience or who have said, even in the midst of their sin in unrepentance, I have no sin. We'll be right back. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Scientism is not science. It's a dangerous and self-refuting philosophy that fixates on means but ignores wisdom.
Dr. Angus Manoj of the Evangelical Philosophical Society talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it leads to the abolition of man as man is reduced to a material object. It's used as a weapon by atheists and skeptics to attack religion as a source of knowledge. It begins with Bacon's dictum, knowledge is power, but it overlooks the way in which power corrupts.
You can meet and hear Dr. Angus Manoj making the case against scientism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The Issues Etc. book of the month for May. Last day of May, folks. It's called Echo Unbroken Truth, Worth Repeating Again by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can read it for yourself and see what his second volume brings. It is, well, it is the catechism. It is the basic teaching of the faith presented in a very Jonathan Fiskian way. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for Echo Unbroken Truth, Worth Repeating Again by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
All right. Every week, we announce the winner of Issues Etc. What does this mean? We ask listeners to call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, and answer the question, what does this mean? And the winner will receive a DVD of all six Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Here's this week's winner.
Hello, friends at Issues Etc. This is Caleb from Milwaukee. Issues Etc., what does this mean? Well, as a millennial who has grown up in an age when virtually everybody has a voice and having to tolerate, deal with, and sort through many kinds of terrible teaching and doctrine, unfortunately even within the church, Issues Etc. to me means a refreshing stream of water in the desolate desert of our radio and social media climate. Issues Etc. in the midst of our chaotic world means solid, scriptural, comforting, and theological teaching, as well as sane social commentary from a faithful and historic Christian perspective. Thank you, Issues Etc., as we traipse through this desert, for faithfully pointing us to the true source of living water, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Thanks for all you guys do in the name of Christ. Bye.
And Caleb, thank you very much. He's going to get the audio DVD of all six of our previous Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. For leaving on our comment line his answer to the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? That comment line number, 618-223-8382.
And Caleb, please send an email to Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at issuesetc.org with your mailing address, and we'll get you that audio DVD. Last but not least, Kathleen writes, give me some suggestions for what I should say when I hear someone say, Issues Etc. is hyper-Lutheran. Have at it, Wilkin.
Well, this is not a new criticism. We've had this for, well, the better part of the 25 years we've been on the air, that we are somehow ultra-conservative or ultra-confessional, or in this case, hyper-Lutheran. Here's a suggestion. It's a very simple suggestion. When you hear someone say that, just ask for some examples. Just say, let's say this is often a criticism leveled against Issues Etc. from Lutheran pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Just ask the pastor, can you give me a couple examples of, you know, past episodes of the program? Not what you heard from someone third hand, not what you heard at a pastor's conference, not what someone told you across the fence in the backyard, but examples that you've actually heard on the program of what you mean by hyper-Lutheran. What do you mean by that? So you ask the question first, Pastor, what do you mean by hyper-Lutheran? Let him explain. And then say, can you give me some examples of that? What was said by a guest on Issues Etc., or by the host on Issues Etc., that fits your definition of hyper-Lutheran? Now, what you might find is they can't give you a definition of hyper-Lutheran. It might just mean, well, they just sound more Lutheran than me or something like that. You also might find that they can't give you any examples. Because often what we've heard by way of this criticism, it's hyper-Lutheran, comes from people who simply don't listen to the program. Now, they have an opinion on the program. They're certainly entitled to their opinion, but that opinion ought to be attended by a few facts, shouldn't it? So all you need to do is just ask for the facts. What do you mean by hyper-Lutheran? And can you give me some real examples of what was said on the program by a guest or by the host that fit what hyper-Lutheran means? What about it is hyper-Lutheran? You know, you might even just be asking the critic, do you actually listen to the show? And if they say no, then the basis of their opinion, well, it's questionable. I once was at a wedding reception, was approached by, I actually approached a Lutheran pastor to compliment him on the wedding sermon. And when he realized that it was Todd Wilkin who was talking to him, he said to me, standing there in front of my wife, this is one of these nice guy pastors, standing there with my wife, he said, I don't like you and I don't like your show. And I said, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. Do you listen? And he said, no. So there you go. How can you know whether he's free to not like me. That's fine. That's great. More power to you. But if you don't like the show, you should at least have listened to it before you form an opinion about it. So ask them if they listen and what examples there are. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with Pastor Will Whedon. In all the years that he's been on the program, we've talked to just about every one of our guests on the Church Fathers about Justin Martyr. but not Will Wheaton. We'll do that tomorrow. We'll review the movie Solo, A Star Wars Story, with Pastor Ted Geese. And Dr. Adam Francisco will join us to talk about Martin Luther's use of apologetics. We'll also play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.